Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Questions I think we've got time for. Cathy Warwick is coming to join us on the panel. Where should we head to first? Anybody with their hands up? Questions to either Francis or Dr. Gerada. The lady here, microphone B, please.
Hello, I'm Jane Hibber, a regional screening coordinator. A question I would like to put is, some midwives, and some of us are here today, are being moved out of the NHS into Public Health England. And one of the things that we wondered, actually, was what the Royal College are doing to ensure that our ability to act and still register as a midwife within PHE, and that the terms and conditions of those moves into Public Health England, which will be non-NHS, what's being done to address it, because we believe that the Royal College of Midwives has not been one of the unions to be involved within the conditions moving across into PHE.
Thank you very much. Well, certainly if you're our member, we will represent you wherever you are. So I would strongly suggest that any of you that are moving into Public Health England, just come to the RCM stand and make sure you've got the name of your local representative. Excuse me, because we need to get in there and actually represent you as an individual. We've been doing that already for our midwifery members in the Nursing Midwifery Council as they've faced problems, and indeed for our members who've been part of the National Screening Programme where they've faced problems. So we really need to individually represent you in these sort of circumstances.
Another question for either Cathy, Claire or Francis. Lady, two ladies here. If we can get the other microphone to the lady behind, please. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Suzanne Tyler and I'm the strategic maternity lead for South of England. I think the first thing I'd say is, what an afternoon session of people that the RCM, it just demonstrates how the RCM is viewed in the world, but also the alliances and allegiances that midwives need to make across a fellow professional organisation and trade unions, and it's absolutely the heart. My question is really for Claire, and it's about the opportunities for greater collaboration between midwives and general practice as your members struggle with getting to grips with clinical commissioning.
Yes, and in fact we are in discussion, we're certainly in discussion with the Royal College of Obs and Gynae, and thank you for that comment about professional allegiances, because actually your president has been absolutely spectacular in the support she's given me personally, but also the support she's given the RCGP. So we are pushing on an open door for wanting to look at better ways of collaborating. My sense is, and I say this even though there are it's not to focus on the commissioning, actually. It's to focus on the provider side. You heard Louise talking about all those different initiatives over the last 20 years, came and gone, and what stayed the same was the clinicians working in their area. We will undoubtedly have another reorganisation in 2 years, without a doubt. This one's a nonsense, so of course we're going to get another one. So just focus on provider side. When I started in general practice, our midwives were in and out. You came to our clinical meetings. We discussed our problem pregnancies, if that's a proper term nowadays. You know, our teenage ones, the problem ones. We talked to you. We knew you on first names. And then things happened. I don't know what it was. So just focus on the simple stuff. And then I think the complicated stuff will sort itself out.
The lady in front.
Hello, Carol Garrick, Western Sussex Hospitals. I wanted a question to Dr. Gerada again. I wanted to ask what the Royal College of GPs are going to do to support the GPs that are in the commissioning groups and the local commissioning groups in order to help them put pressure on NHS provider services to make sure that actually money intended to commission maternity services actually goes to maternity services.
That's a very interesting question. We, the Royal College of GPs, right from the outset, set up a centre for commissioning to help support GPs, because even though we were concerned about the bill or the white paper that was there, we saw that we needed to do that. With respect to commissioning maternity services, I'm not entirely sure the answer to that, in all honesty. I think, who's a GP in the audience? I mean, you've got James here. He's a, you know, I think it's very complicated commissioning. I just worry. It's hard enough when you've gone to MBA school and NHS management school and done 15 to 20 years, or you're from a public health background. And I do worry a little bit that expecting my profession to be able to parachute in and do all the transactional stuff and all the needs assessment. Maybe some can, who have been doing it for many years. So again, I think you need to, through your leadership, push against at every single level. Cathy will be pushing against me at the college. We need to discuss this with the National Commissioning Board, and we need to just keep on having a dialogue. So there's no simple answer.
Is there any assurance that there will be senior midwives advising at the National Commissioning Board?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I suspect there won't be. Is there? There are. Yeah. Right, OK. Well, I don't know. I mean,
perhaps the latest, in terms of the National Commissioning Board, there is an advert out at the moment for a women and children's advisor. And Jane Cummings has assured me that it is going to be a requirement that that post is a midwife. So the aim at the National Commissioning Board is to have a senior midwifery advisory post, taking on a slightly broader remit, which many of the HOMs already do. So I think that's very positive. At other levels in the structure, the intention, I believe, is to talk to the LSAMOs, the local supervising authority midwifery officers, just in case anyone doesn't know the acronym, to talk to them about expanding their roles to take on an advisory function within the clusters. But then what we've got to try and do is make sure that there is midwifery advice into all the other components of the new structure, Health Education England, into all the local teams that will then feed up into the National Commissioning Board. And currently what we're doing in the RCM is building a big map with all the names of the people we know on it and trying to work out how we're going to get the right people talking at the right points in
Can
the system.
Can you share that map with us?
Yeah, we will. Sean O'Sullivan's responsible for it. So it's a big challenge getting the right advice, but there will be someone at the National Commissioning Board.
Does that offer you any reassurances? Time for one quick question, if anybody's got one more. The lady three rows back, microphone B, please.
Hello, Denise Turan. I'm a freelance midwifery lecturer. I was fascinated by what you both had to say, but I'm slightly disappointed that we spend a lot of time criticising incoming change, without actually looking at the potential opportunities that those changes may offer. I'm not saying we've got it right yet, but I do think that as a profession we ought to be welcoming some of the changes. And we were talking this morning, and Caroline mentioned the independent midwives. We've got things like the group practices, one-to-one midwifery. As I say, I'm a freelance midwifery lecturer. And I think we have to look at groups who are choosing to work outside the main system. I would like to reiterate, I'm not sure whether it was Caroline or Paul Lewis's question this morning about the RCM's coverage indemnity insurance for those of us working outside that system, but that's a secondary question. I actually think that it's about us all reviewing our attitudes, and I know attitudes are very difficult to change, but I think there are a lot of people who are entrenched in a 60-year-old traditional NHS who do not necessarily welcome the development of private initiatives. I've had it implied on more than one occasion that because I now no longer work for a university, I am therefore not as good a lecturer as I might otherwise have been. And I know that certain independent midwives in clinical practice have the same problems. And I think we have to look to some of these new initiatives and welcome them as different choices for women, so that we're all working to the same aim. That's what we're there for, the women.
That choice word again, Claire.
I wish you were right. I wish. But what will happen? What's happening? And I'm a I'm a partner of a very large practice. Is what we're doing is we're removing state money, our money, we own the NHS, and we are moving it into the for-profit, whether that's social enterprise, private sector, hands, so who will control not just what's provided, but actually, let's use the commissioning word, what is commissioned. That's number one. The second thing is there is no private provider in the world or private insurer that can risk pool for 60 million people. So you will cherry-pick. You, independent midwives, will have to cherry-pick because you cannot possibly take on high-risk, potentially expensive patients. Forget the indemnity issue, but you can't possibly do that. And what will happen is that money will move to those that need it least, away from those that need it most. It will happen as day follows night. And I am a victim of this just like you are. So... But maybe just call me an old socialist. Don't print that.
Young.
No, not the old, the S word. I'm not.
A final thought from Francis.
Because I was accused by The Guardian of being a socialist. And I,
that's a compliment time, from The Guardian.
Yes, I
I mean, I agree with Claire's point. I have to say I find this frustrating, not just in this area, but across a whole range of areas, because in general terms, I don't know anybody who wants more positive change in the public services than the people who work in them. You know, everybody I meet, I go around the country talking to people from all sorts of different jobs and professions, and the vast majority of people I meet really care about the work that they do. As Louise quite rightly said, they're not in it for the money. You know, they're in it because they want to do a good job and they want to feel proud of the organisation that they work for. And just, you know, my own experience of having babies, there was a revolution in maternity care at that time. I was that first generation where you could sit down with your midwife and talk about what you wanted. It wasn't a contract, it wasn't a choice, it was about mutual respect, actually. And that was a big, big change in maternity services at the time. So I believe, and there are examples all over the country of where people who work in the service have come up with new ideas about how better to deliver that service and to do it for value for money as well. We have, you know, we've all got an interest as taxpayers too. We want there to be value for money. But I think the thing I find most distressing about this whole experience, and I'll finish on this, is that I think many of us felt that nobody was listening. That there, you know, there was supposed to be a listening exercise. Often, I have to say, didn't feel that way in meetings, and it felt like all that goodwill, all that experience, all that skill and practical common sense, not just of midwives, but of public service workers across the piece, was frankly being ignored. So absolutely, I worry about some very, very powerful private sector interests who frankly are circling the NHS right now. But I also worry about what I strongly feel was a lack of respect shown to the dedicated workers who are employed in it.
I mean, I think what I want to say is that the RCM is absolutely rock solid behind the NHS. We're absolutely rock solid behind the fact that all women, regardless of any ability to pay, should have the very highest quality of maternity service. And that will always be our fundamental stance that we will hang on to. And we still believe that the Health and Social Care Act was a major and unnecessary mistake. However, I also do want to say that we're a membership organisation and we will support our members wherever you choose to work. And that is a very important principle to us as well. And we are working very, very hard to try and ensure that wherever our members work, they are protected in terms of their pay and conditions. And we've been recognised as a trade union by the recent one-to-one midwifery practice that's set up in the Wirral, which we're delighted about. And we will also try and ensure that everybody can work without the threat of not having the right indemnity. And we're continuing to push to try and ensure particularly that independent midwives get indemnity insurance. So we will work for our members wherever they are, but we also will continue to fight to keep the NHS public. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.